You're listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. This show is created for entrepreneurs, business owners, marketers, and dreamers who want to learn from the experts of today and drastically shortcut their own success to build a business that supports their dream lifestyle. Since 2011, Tyler Jorgensen has been interviewing business thought leaders from around the world. A serial entrepreneur himself, Tyler also shares his personal insights into what's working in business today. Welcome to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio.
All right, welcome out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. I am your host, Tyler Jorgensen, and today, coming to us from the nation's capital is Dr. Willie Jolly. Dr. Jolly has written books and he's a speaker. He's helped major companies like Ford. And we're going to talk about overcoming challenges and turning setbacks into comebacks and all kinds of really cool stuff. Welcome out to the show, Willie.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much. I have just a minute, 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but our eternities are wrapped up in it. And I'm thankful for this minute, this moment, this opportunity to be on with you and to share ideas with your listeners.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Now, was that freestyle or is that how you usually start your public speaking gigs?
That's how I start everything I do. Every speech, my SiriusXM show every week, every interview. That's a piece called God's Minute. And it was written by Dr. Benjamin Mays, who was Martin Luther King Jr.'s mentor at Morehouse College. And it is a piece that I heard when I first started speaking 30 years ago. I was so taken by it that I became a student of Dr. Mays, even though he was dead. I read everything he had. I listened to everything I could find. He was such a great philosopher, educator, thinker, that minute became something I would start off, and it became synonymous with Dr. Willie Jolly. So people will come up to me and say, do the minute. I want to hear that minute. And so that's something that I have been doing for 30 years.
Awesome. Well, I like it, and it's a great way to start. So, we'll get into it a little bit here beyond the first minute. Do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
I do. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a second-generation entrepreneur. So I think that has some impactful concepts that I want to make sure people know about. My mom was a school teacher. My dad was an entrepreneur. He was a journalist who had his own company. So every morning, my dad would get up, maybe 6 o'clock, put on a freshly starched white shirt, go to the basement of our home in Washington. And you'd hear, when we got up and ready for school, you hear this Underwood typewriter going, ping, ping. About, my mom would cook breakfast between 7:30 and 8. And at 8 o'clock, she'd say, I'm off to school. My brother and I would eat breakfast from 8 to 8:30. And then my father would come upstairs at 8:30 and say, okay, guys, time to go to school. So we would drive our car to the local elementary school. And as we did, we heard the other parents say to their children, okay, Sally, remember what you're supposed to do today. Yes, ma'am. Go to school. Yes. Get a good education. Yes. So I can get a good job. Right. And then you hear another parent say, okay, Bobby, what are you supposed to do today? Go to school. Yes. Get a good education. Yes. So I can get a good job. Right. And then my father would say to my brother and I, okay, guys, what are you supposed to do today? Go to school. Yes. Get an incredible education. Yes. So we can create some good jobs. We want to be job makers, not job takers. And so that was drilled into our mind every morning. So when my brother and I grew up, we both became entrepreneurs. And so I have been an entrepreneur building different businesses. I had a recording company. I had a recording studio business. Uh-huh. Then I had a record company business. Then I had my brother and I had a jingle company. We did a lot of the big jingles you've heard over the years. We've had a number of businesses. And now we have my speaking business. a publishing business, Jolly Publishing, a media business, Jolly Media, and a music business, JM Music, Jolly Music. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things going on, and we are entrepreneurs, second generation. So, yes, I am
very
an
cool.
entrepreneur.
Raised by an entrepreneur to be a creator. I think that's really fantastic. You know, so you've been doing a lot of things. You do a ton of public speaking. You're known as, in some circles, as one of the top five most entertaining public speakers, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
But you've also done, you do consulting, and you've helped businesses come back from the brink of bankruptcy. If you had to put into an elevator pitch what it is that Willie Jolly does, give me Dr. Jolly's elevator pitch.
Yeah, I'm big on elevator pitches. I was on a elevator one day at the National Press Club. I got on the lobby level and got on the elevator, and who was on the elevator but Bishop Desmond Tutu. I was stunned because he was there, had his bodyguards, and I was the only one there, and I said, "Bishop Tutu, my name is Willie Jolly. I am the president of Willie Jolly Worldwide. We do inspiration, entertainment, education, motivation with a mindset to help people turn their setbacks into incredible comebacks and help them to win more in their everyday pursuits. I sure would like to stay connected." I handed him my card. He said, "I love that. You help inspiration, entertainment, education, and motivation. Is that correct?" "Yes, sir." And he said, "And then you help people do more, be more, and achieve more, and help them to win more. Is that correct?" I said, "Yes, sir." "And turn setbacks into comebacks." "Yes, sir." He said, I got it. Thank you." A few months later, I got a call from South Africa, and I went to South Africa, and I spoke all over the continent.
Very
because
cool.
I gave an elevator pitch that worked. So I ain't always encourage people to work on the elevator pitch. You've got about 30 seconds. Or maybe a minute to be able to tell somebody what you do and why it would be a benefit to them. That's the big thing, Tyler, is not just what you do. It's what is the benefit to them? How can you help their people, their employees, their stakeholders to have greater success? So, yes, that's what I do. I wrote the book, A Setback Set Up for a Comeback, and it is built on the fact that one of those businesses I had before I became a speaker was I had a recording company, as I told you, and I was a jazz singer. I did jingles during the day, but I sang in nightclubs at night where I made the majority of my income because we had a very popular nightclub act, and I won the award for best jazz singer, best entertainer, best performer in the Washington, D.C. area. Things were going great. People would line up at 7 o'clock for the 8 o'clock show, 9 o'clock for the 10 o'clock show. It was a small club, but it was packing them in there. Well, one night I went in, the club owner said, "We want to talk after the night's show." I told the guys in the band they want to talk. We've been selling out for 6 months. We got standing room only audiences. We're about to get our raise. I walked in his office that night and he said, "We love you guys. Y'all are awesome. We've made a lot of money," which is hard. Why it's hard for me to tell you that we've decided to make a change. "We love you guys, but we need to get a better return on investment. And the only way to do that with a full nightclub is to lower the cost. The band's the biggest cost. We're going to try something new." I said, "What?" "Yeah," they said, we bought a karaoke machine. We're going to try that for a month." I said, "But what about my bills?" And I learned that night, nobody really cares about your bills but you and the people you owe. Am I right about it?
That's right.
And I went home and told my wife, I got to do something else. I thought of working with the Washington, D.C. public school system while I was trying to figure out what I was going to do as a temporary drug prevention coordinator, and helping them to put together this program to use students to be drug prevention peer counselors. And as part of my job, I had to give little speeches. And that's where I found what I was born to do, speak. So I mixed the entertainment plus the motivation, inspiration, education, and created this program. And let me tell you, it's been incredible. And so I wrote the book, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback, that became a global bestseller. And that was how Ford Motor Company, when they wanted to brink a bankruptcy, knew to reach out to me because one of their executives had read the book and said, "There's this guy who could help us come back." They were losing $1 million a month. They said, "There's this guy." They looked me up. They contacted me and said, "We want you to come help us to come back. We need a comeback." So I worked with Ford in 2006, 2007, 2008, and in 2009, Ford was the only one of the big three automakers to be able to reject a government bailout and go from losing $1 million a month to making $1 billion. Now, Tyler, did the economy go up between 2006 and 2009? No. What changed? Thinking. When you change your thinking, you'll change your future. And that's what I do for a living. Help people change their thinking through my books, through my podcast, through my radio shows, through my PBS specials, through my television, through all my resources. Change their thinking so they can turn a setback into a comeback and they can win more.
So what are some of the things that people need to do from a practical standpoint to change their thinking, right? So in order to change your thinking, you have to start with the premise that your current thought process is wrong, juvenile, or could somehow be improved, right? So needs to be changed?
I would like to say it's maybe not wrong. And juvenile kind of gets in the right direction. Albert Einstein said that the thinking that brought you thus far will not be able to take you to the next level.
Right.
So you must grow your thinking. So, you know, scripture says when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became an adult, I had to put away childish things and I had to grow. Another scripture I really love is, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you change your thinking, you change your actions, then you'll change your results. You change your thinking, you change your actions, you change your results, you'll change your destiny. And that's what I want to help people to do. So I think it's critically important that we help people grow their thinking. And that's what I do.
Okay. So what are some common limiting beliefs that you come across with people that they need to grow out of?
Yeah. And let me tell you this. I've been doing events. I've been doing not webinars. I speak now. I was booked. My calendar is over here on my right, Tyler, and it's a big wall calendar, and it takes up the whole wall. And before March of this year, every date was just about booked all over the world. People were bringing me in, whether it's Coca-Cola South Africa, Johnson & Johnson Dubai, Walmart, Verizon, Prudential, Chase Manhattan Bank. I was booked for Fortune 100 as well as a lot of conferences. And some years ago, I replaced Zig Ziglar on the Get Motivated Tour. So I was doing two cities a week with that on top of everything else. So I was busy. But on March 9th, everything shut down. Everything canceled. So what I want to say to people, and many people who are going to be listening to this are still dealing with the crisis we call coronavirus, the pandemic. And I want to give you a couple real quick thoughts that I've been sharing and to help people through this, because before I can tell them to be an entrepreneur, we got to get through this. Number one, do not panic. Panic is taken from the Greek word to choke. When you panic, you choke off the air to your brain. You cannot think clearly, cannot make wise decisions. 1929, there was a stock market crash. People panicked. Some jumped off of bridges, not realizing that the market would come back bigger and better than ever. The lesson is, this too shall pass. If you're willing to think your way through this, you will be able to not just survive it, but to actually thrive in it. There are companies that went through adversity that grew their thinking. Disney started in the depression. Uber started in a recession. Hyatt started in a lean time. Some of the greatest companies we know started in tough times, but they fought their way through it and won. So that's first, do not panic. You got to think your way through. Number two, don't let your pride poison your prosperity. This is a big one for entrepreneurs, because let's say you are, I'll give you an example. My daughter's an entrepreneur. She has a salon in North Carolina. Well, during the tough economic times of the pandemic, it got shut down. Well, what do you do then? She had to write these down, folks. You got to lift, shift, and pivot. Let me say it again. You got to lift, shift, and pivot. So I had taught her that. She, knowing that she couldn't make money doing hair and nails and salon stuff, she went to the grocery store. She can cook. So she's a wonderful cook. She went to the grocery store, bought a lot of food, started cooking meals, took a picture of the finished meal, put it on Facebook, said, I've got meals for those who don't want to cook. They started saying, I want one on Facebook. She said, now pay me on my phone through an app. She got paid through an app. And then she said, I'm going to send the food to you by Uber. And just wait for the Uber person to buzz you. That's how she started pivoting to make That's money. Great. Don't let your pride poison your prosperity. You might have to drive Uber during these tough times. You might have to do something outside of your normal way of staying afloat during these tough times. But whatever you got to do, as long as it's legal and moral, then it's a good thing. So,
okay, love it.
Do not panic. Lift, shift, pivot to the positive. Don't let your pride poison your prosperity. I'm going to give you one more. Be proactive. I had the honor a couple years ago to do an event in Sydney, Australia. We were keynote speakers, two keynote speakers, myself and a guy named Dr. Stephen Covey. He wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And backstage, I said, Dr. Covey, which of those 7 habits are the most powerful? He said, there are 2 that I would recommend you keep in mind. All of them are powerful, but these are the 2 big ones. Number one, think win-win. How can you help other people win? So Tyler, when you asked me to come in to do your show, I was honored to do it because one day I might ask you to do something and it creates a win-win relationship. Number 2, after you win-win, is be proactive. I had never heard that word before Dr. Covey in that book. What does that mean? That means don't wait for your ship to come in, swim out to it. Get busy. During these tough times, call your clients. Check on them. I want you to think of 3 things. I've been telling realtors, business people, here are the 3 things. During tough times, I want you to serve, seed, so you can sell later. Serve them now. Every client, when our client got wiped out, my team and I, we went to work, not calling saying, can you book me? We called every client over the last 20 years, everyone over the last 20 years, and just said, how you doing? How's your family? Are y'all healthy? Is everything okay? That's all we call it for. And then we serve, see how they're doing. Then we seed. If there's anything I can do to be a help, let me know. If there's anything, and I'd say, I'm going to send you an article, or I'm going to send you a little piece, or I'll send you a song that I record. I recorded a song called We'll Get Through This. You can see that at winwithwilly.com. I'm going to send you this song. All I want you to do is listen. It will encourage you. It will inspire you. And just, as so many of them said, I listen to it every day. I listen to it every day. And then I said, man, we're going to put out 1-minute motivational messages. We're starting during the pandemic every morning on IG and on my newsletter. If you want to be on that, sign up for my newsletter. You get it absolutely free. 1 minute. That's all it takes for you to get it. And we are overwhelmed by the response globally. And all we did was serve them, then seed, and then later on we'll sell them. And many of them are calling now that things are starting to open up. Hey, I haven't forgotten what you did. Would you speak for me? I'll pay you your fee. So, boom. So I'm encouraging people to be proactive and be creative and go to work, okay? This is time that we can't be sitting, but while waiting for stuff to happen, you got to make stuff happen.
I totally agree. I'm a big believer in being proactive. I love the seeking the win-win, serve seed, sell later. I love that because especially in there's some industries that are growing right now, but many people are taking it back. And even if we take out the current situation with coronavirus, people are always going to hit challenges. And so everyone's going to have their own micro pandemics in their own lives. And that's they still go through those same steps, right? Don't panic. Right?
Yep.
Bury the pride.
Principles work. Yeah, that's right. Principles work, whether it's a corporate setback or an individual setback. Let me tell you one more thing, Tyler. Sure, I don't know how old you are. You're a pretty young guy. But I've been able to live through 9/11, the economic downturn of 2008. And I remember back in the 60s, okay? I was a little boy, but so I've seen the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Here's what I learned. Every decade, there's going to be a crisis. It's coming. So after we get through pandemic, this by the time people hear this, because it'll go from radio to podcast, that's an old one. But let me tell you, folks, listen carefully. You better prepare for the crisis before it comes. It's another one coming. Every decade, you get one. So prepare for, and then, there's an old saying, you either got a problem, you just left a problem, or you went on your way to a problem. That's life. So get ready. Everybody has one.
You know, there's a school of thought that as we grow, right? We're just simply moving from wrong to less wrong. We're constantly just trying to get a little bit closer to like right and get a little bit closer. And that, you know, it's one angle and one perspective on growth. But I think sometimes trials are and problems are the same way. We're always leaving one. Our goal should be always be moving away towards one. But we usually are just elevating to a new type of problem or to a new obstacle. And if we, I think it's dangerous to have the mindset of like, I'm done, right? Because there's always going to be another problem coming. And so, but if you have that mindset of not panicking, of thinking your way through, looking at setbacks and challenges as an opportunity for growth, you can face them with a little bit better energy.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I've heard people say, well, I arrived, or the struggle is over. And I laugh at them. I say, okay, today. I had a guy who bought my book, Setback Setup for Comeback, well-known clothes designer, and I had him on my SiriusXM show. And I encourage people, by the way, to tune into my show. It's on channel 141. And then my podcast, the Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast. And this guy said something. I asked him in the interview, tell me, have you ever had a setback? And his response was, which day? Okay. He said, it's one every day. I got a new challenge every day. But it's through the challenges that we grow. It is through the challenges that we become who we are so that we can succeed on the long term. Think about if you didn't get past first grade, you'd never get to sixth grade. And you didn't get past the challenges of sixth grade, you'd never get to the 12th grade. So it's every level is a new challenge. That's what grows us to be able to succeed.
Absolutely. I think there's that old analogy that life is like trying to go up a down escalator, right? So you've got to be constantly progressing or you're going to be regressing. It's really impossible to stand stationary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is interesting. It's come up a few times on recent shows, you know, with Nietzsche once said, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And it's been popularized in pop music and stuff these days. But the concept is that our challenges are what allow us to grow. And actually, it's the only way we grow is through going through those. So I think that perspective of seeing challenges, as much as they're hard, as an opportunity to improve and get better, I know that it absolutely helps me face them with a little bit better spirit, at least.
Absolutely. And so I'm just honored that we are able to share with folks that this too shall pass. We will get through this, whatever you're going through. Everybody has setbacks, but I can tell you for sure that a setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback for those who are willing to work on not just going through them, but growing through them. Absolutely.
So what were some of the mindset changes that a company like Ford Motors had to do? You know, sometimes individuals, we can go through, hey, you need to go through these five steps, right? How do you apply those same principles into a large organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wrote a book called An Attitude of Excellence. The Attitude of Excellence book, the principles I learned from the folks at Ford and going through that process. And this book is just, it's for business. It says how the best organizations get the best performance from the best people. And the principles are, number one, developing leaders at every level of the organization. That you must develop leaders at every level, from the people who answer the phones to the managers, mid-managers, to the top. Everybody should be a leader of one. Number two, you must see change and teach change, that change is not an enemy, it's an ally. So you got to see change from a new perspective. Number three, you must create a teamwork makes the dream work culture, where everybody is working toward a common goal. Number four, you must amaze the customer with wow customer service. Customers should walk away saying, wow, that was the best, whatever it is they did, I've ever experienced. Because then they'll become your marketing team, and they're unpaid, but they're your marketing team. And number five is develop a winner's attitude. A winner's attitude is an attitude where you develop a mindset that says, I don't know how I'm going to win through this challenge, but somehow, some way, I'm going to win. That's what winners do. They learn how to win. And that's a mindset. That's a state of mind. That's a position of mind. So those are things I learned from Ford. And they did it two ways. They first thought internally, and then they worked externally. So they first started working on their people, and then they worked on their brand to customers outside. Internal first. Build your internal. Make sure your house is strong. And then start working on getting your message out to more people.
Okay. I love it. So I'm a big believer that business and life should be hand in hand, and that building a business that you love also should allow you to live a lifestyle that you love. What is one major item on Dr. Willie Jolly's personal bucket list that you're going to accomplish in the next 12 months?
By this time next year, you will be seeing and hearing about Jolly Media as a major player, Netflix, Disney Plus. You will be seeing our productions in places that are beyond what was traditional. Maybe PBS was traditional or terrestrial radio was traditional. We're going to take Jolly Media, inspirational, motivational entertainment, to the marketplace in a massive way. Music, videos, movies. We're going to do Jolly Media in a massive way. That's our biggest goal. I saw how Disney, I studied Disney, how a guy started with a mouse called Steamboat Willie that was converted from Steamboat Willie to Mickey Mouse, a series of cartoons to build an empire. Why not me? Why not others? To build empires out of little small stock. You know, scripture, I'm big on scripture. Scripture said, do not curse the day of small beginnings. So I'm on syndicated radio now, 48 markets. I'm on Sirius XM now, the national or global, wherever you get the access to the signal. And then I've got these IG 1 minute messages on Facebook and on YouTube and on Instagram. But that's just the start. That's the small beginnings. You'll be seeing more and more Dr. Willie Jolly, and you'll be saying, wow, where did this guy come from? Where did he overnight success? Yeah, it only took me 30 years.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. We'll be keeping an eye out for that for sure. Encourage you guys to please go check out winwithwillie.com. There you can learn more about his book, and you can watch some of his motivational videos and subscribe to his newsletter. Please go check out winwithwillie.com. Dr. Jolly, really appreciate you coming on the show. And all my biz ninjas out there, wherever you're listening, it's your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for tuning in to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. What you didn't hear was one more very important question that Tyler asks each guest. If you want to be a fly on the wall when the real secrets are shared, go to bizninja.com/VIP and get your access today. Remember to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. And our one last favor, if this episode was meaningful to you, please share this podcast with a fellow entrepreneur so they can grow along with us. Biz Ninjas, it's your turn to go out and do something.